Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It is episode 123, and it's great to be together. It's great to open up God's Word and see what He has to say to us today. Well, if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to be turning to the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at the church in Thyatira. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me there, and while we do that, I'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you for your scriptures. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts, that you would nourish us and feed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality, and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you, I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. Even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, the letter to Thyatira comes very similarly to Pergamum. It comes from one who declares himself judge, for lack of a better word. You remember yesterday, or no, it wasn't yesterday, that was Westminster Wednesday. On Tuesday, we talked about the fact that the letter to Pergamum came from the one who had the sword out of his mouth, and that was a picture of judgment. Well, here we have the picture of he whose eyes see everything, who search everything, and he whose feet are bronze and firm, and they can walk anywhere amidst the churches. And of course, these seeing eyes can be a comfort to us, but they can also be pretty hard as well, can't they? At times of sin and rebellion, to know that Christ sees us. That can be a scary imagery, but it should be a source of great comfort for us. So this letter comes from Jesus portrayed, in a sense, as a judge. But notice this beautiful line of praise for Thyatira. He says of them, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. And you can imagine the church at Thyatira hearing that, can't you? And just being overwhelmed with a sense of, yes, yes, we are doing well. And maybe if you're the church in Thyatira, as you hear this, and of course you've heard the messenger read out the reports from the other churches, maybe you're beginning to understand how things go. And so you're sort of like, well, this is the good news, but what's the bad news? Well, for beginning, let's just remember this wonderful good news of what they've done so well. It's a picture of a church which has maintained its witness in the face of opposition. So you notice the different descriptions. There is love, faith, and service, and patient endurance. If you combine all those together, it really is the sign of a church which is witnessing well. They're loving each other, and therefore they're an example, as Christ would say, by brotherly love, they show the world that they are disciples of Christ. Their faith is manifest. Their patient endurance is manifest, and their service in the world is manifest. And when you combine all of this, it is that picture of a people of God which are faithfully serving Christ no matter what's going on around them. You see, the two churches, particularly of Pergamum and Thyatira, face very similar situations. And that was what we talked about last time, this economical pressure. That this pressure to conform to the world because it's helpful in society. Your status is increased in the world when you act like the world. And so they were constantly under pressure to fold their beliefs, even just a little bit, in order to be liked by the world, which is very similar to how you and I live, isn't it? If we act like the world, If we don't make comments about the world and its blasphemy and in its joking and in its revelry, if we just let them be, they don't mind us. But when we stand up for Christ in the workplace, when we stand up for Christ amongst our friends, hatred is riled up around us, isn't it? And so in a similar situation, I think it's a challenge for us to remain faithful to Christ in the face of everything going on around us. But as to be expected for Thyatira, there's this sentence of praise. But did you notice how much is given to praise in comparison to how much is given to judgment by Jesus? Jesus gives this one-liner of, you're doing great, and then he delivers really a scathing rebuke to Thyatira. Thyatira had embraced some things that were bad. They had embraced a cancer in the church. You see, Jesus, with these all-seeing eyes, he can look through. He can see through perceptions. We can keep a nice look on the outside of our hearts, and we can keep a nice look on the outside of our churches. But what's going on in the inside? What's really going on? And so Jesus looks into the heart of the matter, and he says, I have this against you. It's your tolerance. You say, wait a second, I thought tolerance was a good thing. I thought we meant to bear up with one another. I thought we meant to be tolerant. The world just espouses tolerance. Tolerance is just the catch-cry word of the day, isn't it? Tolerance above everything else. Well, Jesus says to Thyatira, I have this against you. You have tolerated someone. They've tolerated Jezebel. Now, whether Jezebel's a real person or not, we don't know. It's probably not. John's probably using the word, the name Jezebel, referencing back to Jezebel in the Old Testament with King Ahab, Ahab's wife, who led Ahab and Israel into horrendous idolatry and sin. Well, he's probably using that as a name, but I think he's probably addressing a real person. If it's not a person singular, I think he's addressing a group of people who have come into the church and are beginning to lead the church astray in the same way that Jezebel married Ahab and led Ahab astray. This group of people had come into the church and were beginning to lead people away from the truth, away from Christ. And so he gives this staggering response to this reality. He says, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus says she calls herself a prophetess. Now, that's interesting because we remember when we read the rest of the New Testament that no one takes upon themselves an office, do they? Paul became an apostle because Christ came and made him an apostle. And even then, he still went to the apostles to be recognized as an apostle and to be welcomed into the people of God. And all the disciples were called out by Christ. And you and I, we are called by Christ. And ministers of the gospel like myself are called into office by Jesus and confirmed by the church of Jesus Christ. But this woman, this person, whoever it is, had appointed him or herself. This false leader had said, I am the prophetess. And this is a really good warning for us to beware with self-appointed men and women. There is no self-appointed office in the church. The appointed offices in the church are set up, established, maintained, and filled by Christ himself and no one else. So if you're thinking about entering into an office, the most fundamental question you must ask yourself is, have I been called by Christ? And if you're thinking about, as a member of a church, if you're thinking about nominating someone or calling someone to your church, you must ask yourself, has this person been called by Christ? Is it apparent that the call of Jesus Christ is upon their life? Because if it's not, you're going to end up where these people ended up. They ended up with a false representative. And this Jezebel person led the people into sin, led them into idolatry, and probably was teaching the same thing that was going on in Pergamum, that is, it's okay to just be like the world. You know, just don't be so extreme. Don't be so extreme in your Christianity. Just bend a little bit. Not all the way. Don't deny Christ, but just be a little bit like the world. Like, we can merge these two realities together. We can have a bit of Christ and a bit of world, and we can join them together. And then we can be a Christian, and the world won't hate us. And we can flourish, and economically we'll have lots of money, and we can use the money for good things. You can imagine how seductive that type of a teaching is in the face of persecution, in the face of losing your job, in the face of being cast out from the local blacksmith guild. But Christ will have none of this, will he? No, Christ, he calls them out. And one of the problems of the church is they had failed to discipline. You see, the reality is the opposite of tolerance is discipline, isn't it? The church has given discipline. Christ has given his church discipline to deal with situations like this. But instead of disciplining this person, the church tolerated this person. Instead of punishing Jezebel and disciplining and correcting and rebuking, the church tolerated it, accepted it. Because, you know, we don't want to offend people, and we want to be pastoral, and we want to shepherd people, and we want to show our love to people, and we're about grace. We're grace people. And so we can't discipline. That's an ugly thing. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus, in a nutshell, says, if you're not going to discipline them, I will. Did you notice that? Jesus says, I've given her time to repent, verse 21, yet she refuses to repent. So I've withheld my judgment, giving her the opportunity to change her ways, but she refuses. Therefore, I'm going to come and throw her onto a sickbed. I'm going to throw her into great tribulation. And unless they repent of her works, or unless the people who are now being sucked into her are going to repent of those same works, I will strike them down as well. Now, this is a very important point. As a minister, as an elder, and as churches, if we don't discipline, Christ will. Do you remember in Corinthians what happened when they were mistreating the Lord's Supper, that some of them were falling sick and dying because of it? We must not fool around with sin because Christ doesn't. Sin is not something that can be toyed with. It will kill us. Either we will kill it or it will kill us. And in the church, as elders and as a church, we must be very serious about sin. Not just sin, but false teaching. All of it. Anything that leads us away from Christ, we must be very, very aggressive with. I mean, you think about it. If you've got a cancer in your body, what does the doctor do? Does the doctor say, let's just leave it there, we'll poke it a little bit, but let's not aggravate it, because that's going to make your body sick. We don't want to make your body upset. We don't want to upset the rest of your body, so we're not going to treat it. We'll just pretend like it's okay, and we'll give you some painkillers so you feel good. Your doctor doesn't do that, does he? He says, I'm sorry, this is going to really hurt, but I'm going to cut it out. And it's going to really hurt because we're going to blast you with chemotherapy and you're going to be violently ill for like the next 6 months. But we're going to kill the cancer and you're going to heal afterwards. We need to be like that in the church. When there is a sin attacking our body, whether it's individually within us or within the wide body of the church, we need to attack it and kill it so that the righteousness of Christ might flourish all the more. And yeah, that's scary. And yeah, that's going to offend some people. But Christ will be exalted, and we will be overcomers. And he gives Thyatira, and he gives us this promise. He says, to those of us who overcome, verse 26, the one who conquers, the one who overcomes, who keeps my works to the end, who holds fast in spite of Jezebel, in spite of the opposition of the enemy, I'm going to make them an overcomer. That's basically the summary of verse 25, 26 to the end. If you overcome here and now, you will overcome then. And you know how we overcome now? By being willing to die rather than lose our life. You remember the words of Christ? It's this beautiful irony, this beautiful gospel irony. If you want to gain your life, you need to lose it. If you want life, you need to die. If you want to overcome an eternity, you need to overcome now by being willing to give up your life for the sake of Jesus Christ. That was the challenge for Thyatira. Were they willing to give up life now and all the life that Jezebel and others were offering them for the sake of gaining Christ? And it's the same challenge for you and I. Let's pray. Father, would you help us? Help us to be overcomers for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in once more to another daily devotion where we open up God's Word together for 15 minutes. I hope you have a most blessed evening. And a shout out to my wife who's in another part of the country. Look forward to seeing you when you come home. Have a great day.